Well, my name's Eugene James. I've lived in Mount Victory. I was born and raised in Mount Victory, and I've lived in Mount Victory ever since, except for the time I was in the service. And there was, I would say, 5 or 6 years that we moved out on the farm, right out east of Mount Victory. The rest of the time, I lived right in town.
Okay, I'm Betty James, married to Eugene James since 1946, and I've been in Mount Victory about almost 63 years. Before that, I was born and raised in Forest Isle. My dad was a mechanic. In later years, he moved to Mount Victory.
Well, I was always interested in what Dad was doing. I'd go along with him. That's me and my older brother, looking over my shoulder. Now you can read the back of that card. I believe that's a 1929, is it?
Yeah, that's what it says.
1929 Ford. It was a new truck. And I believe that's the year the stock market crashed, is it?
Yes, that's right.
And I remember of being in those trucks when I was just a little kid growing up. This is me and my older brother setting up on the milk cans. My mom and my younger sister, and mom's friend and her daughter. Now that is older than this picture. See, that's an old Model T.
Yeah.
This is a Model A.
Huh.
This is my dad beside his truck. And if you notice on there, it says Nestles.
Mm-hmm.
He hauled milk into Ridgeway, Ohio, into Nestle's company.
Oh.
And later on, some years later, they moved the plant down to Marysville. Well, that Nestle's, of course, is, they make Nescafe coffee and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they were a young firm then, and they were started right over here in Ridgeway, Ohio. I could show you right where the plant is, because I remember as a small child, riding with my dad back in there to deliver the milk. That type of operation isn't done too much anymore, except with the Amish people. They still have canned milk like that. Most of our milk was produced by Grade A dairies, and it's transported in tank trucks. But I remember one time, I couldn't have been very old, but Dad bought an old sow, a big hog. He paid about $8 for it, and he had it cut up, and Dad and Mom had the hams up on the kitchen table, rubbing them with Morton salt to preserve the meat. And they took the lard from that old sow and preserved a lot of the pork chops and so forth in that lard by putting them in big crocks. I don't know whether you ever knew what a crock was or not, but Mom used to make sauerkraut in those crocks. They would preserve that meat by putting the meat in there and surrounding it with lard. That lard preserves it. Now that's something we don't hardly do anymore since we've got refrigerators. But at that time, I don't believe there was any refrigeration at all. We played marbles. You could play snake in the grass, or you could draw a big round ring in a spot of dirt like on a ball field. And you could put a marble in there, and each of the other players put a marble in there. Then you stayed outside that ring, and shot your big marble. I forget what they call them. You'd shoot there, and if you knocked the marble out of the ring, well, that was your marble. And some kids would build up quite a bunch of marbles. Other kids would lose their marbles. Then I remember Ruth Anatobe. She was in the hall up at school. She was crying because the kids had won all her marbles. And her older brother quieted her down by telling her that he'd get her some more marbles. I don't know just how old it was, but we used to have Jack Armstrong on the radio. We had the Lone Ranger, different programs like that. But my biggest thing, the thing I enjoyed most, was getting in that truck with Dad and helping him whenever I could. I was driving that milk truck and picking up milk in 10-gallon cans. Yeah, 14 years old. The kids don't have to work like that anymore. Now, I know that to be the truth because in 1940, that's when I was, 14 or... I'd be 14, I was born in 26. Mm-hmm. So 1940, Dad bought a brand new Dodge truck over to Upper Sandusky. John H. Neat was a Dodge truck dealer. And I was driving home. I was driving that brand new truck home. Dad said, what's the matter, Buzz? You getting sleepy? I said, no. I said, I was seeing how many miles we had on the truck because there was a sticker right on the inside of the windshield that says, do not exceed 35 miles per hour for the first 500 miles. Did you know they were like that?
No.
Yeah, 500 miles before you could exceed 35 miles per hour. I wanted to speed it up a little. In 29, you can see where I was at. Now, that was when the stock market crashed. Mm-hmm. And from then on, it was pretty rough. I know that. Well, it had to be rough because you don't buy a 300 or 400 pound hog for $8, you know. And there's very, very few people now that... That can their own produce. We always had a big garden, always. There's four of us kids. And whatever you could preserve and keep from buying in the stores, it helped to save you money.
I remember my dad and Uncle Dwight, his brother, tearing up the floorboards in the back kitchen. Because they had beer hidden underneath the floorboards.
Yeah.
I don't think they were.
That wasn't a depression. That was what was a prohibition.
Whatever. It was about that time. I know. I was only 3 or 4 years old. What I remember, or at least remember them talking about it.
We used to, when I was a little kid, we used to haul corn cobs all over town with our little red wagon. Most people at that time cooked on a coal and wood range, they called it. You could get up in the morning, throw a few of those corn cobs in the firebox of that old range, and you had a quick fire. And if it was in the summertime, let the fire go out. And then it'd be cool in there. And, That would happen every meal, three times a day. Then in the wintertime, of course, you get up and the fire had went out overnight while you had corn cobs to build the fire. And then put some wood on top of them to keep the fire going. Wood or coal. I know I growing up here in Mount Victory. I could go out on a winter morning and practically every house had smoke curling out the chimney. Then it wasn't long till they put gas in, natural gas and fuel oil and electric. But as far as the Depression, them older fellows would remember more about it than I do. But I remember there was a lot of young people that liked to smoke, and there was a lot of young people that didn't have a nickel to buy a pack of Bull Durham to roll their own cigarettes. I remember that, because I was only about 9 or 10 years old when I started smoking. But I quit when I was about 40. Not because somebody told me, because I figured it was hurting my wind. But 1935, Dad would go over here on the marsh, around McGuffey and over in there, and get celery, a whole pickup load of celery. And that little pickup truck had a step on each side beside the cargo area. My brother and I, on each side of the truck, would take a bunch of celery and run from door to door. He'd drive down the street, and we'd go from door to door selling that celery. And if I remember right, it was a nickel a bunch, or three bunches for a dime, or something like that. He would go to Lake Erie and buy a pickup load of peaches and bring them home. And Mom would can a bunch of those peaches so that we would have peaches to eat all winter. And then he would sell the rest out by the bushel. He would peddle them. Pardon?
Do you remember the New Deal programs at all coming through?
FDR?
Yeah.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt? Mm-hmm. You bet. You bet. He's the one that stole right off of each one of us. Yeah.
Yeah.
He made us put part of our money in for a program that he called Social Security. Mm-hmm. So many people didn't like that. But now, her and I couldn't do without it. FDR was a good man. He started up the 3C, young people.
Mm-hmm. Did you remember any of the projects that they did around Mount Victory?
Yes. Yes. For several years. Before I even remember him starting it up, my Uncle Boyd, my dad's sister's husband, it wasn't a butcher shop, it was a, what'd they have?
Slaughterhouse.
People would bring a hog in there and get it slaughtered, and bring a steer in there and get it slaughtered, and their old back house, there wasn't many people that had indoor toilets. Their old back house was pretty bad shape. Either the WPA or PWA come around town here. But that one toilet is one that I have used myself. They put in a new toilet with a tank down there.
Cement.
Huh?
They were made of cement.
Yeah, cement tank down below. Otherwise, you had to clean that out every year. We did when we first moved where we're at now. We've lived in the same house since 52. That'd be 57 years. We've lived right where we're at. That was one thing that I personally remember, you know. And there is, at one time I knew where there was a lot of those, because those shanties were bolted down, and at Halloween time you couldn't upset one of them. Now the other kind, you could upset it. I remember there was three or four of us trying to push one over, We went around the other side to look, and here was this big guy, my age. He had a clown suit on, and he was pushing it the other way. Albert Kinney. He became a state highway patrolman, and he went right up the ladder in the patrol. Our streets were mostly brick, paver bricks. And I remember back when there was a lot of hitching rails in Mount Victory, right along Route 31 there. When I was a little kid, Dad and Mom had us uptown. It was along about July 4th. And some kid threw a big firecracker in the back end, the back seat of the car. Boom! Those kids, it scared us something awful, you know. And I think there was little spots of burn places on it. But at that time, there was a lot of people around Mount Victor here that didn't believe in automobiles yet. They said automobiles would just be a passing thing. They stuck with their horse and buggies. There was a lot of people in that. Now, I live on East Marion Street. My dad could take those cans off and move us. Dad never owned his own property until in later years he bought a farm. And we lived in several different places in Mount Victory while I was growing up. We lived in a house across the street from where I live now, two different times, when I was just a little fellow, and then just before we moved to the farm. We moved out of there, went to the farm. At that time, East Marion Street was a one-lane street. One lane had some stones on it. Then the other lane was just graded up, but it wasn't stoned yet. People using that County Road 230, isn't it? Mm-hmm. People using County Road 230 coming into Mount Victory had one lane. And when you met somebody, if it was muddy, one of you had to get off in the mud. And if you got stuck, the other guy out on the road there, he'd throw you a chain and pull you out. That's true. It was a one-lane street. And a one-lane county road. A one-lane bridge right there where they're cleaning that little creek out now. That was a one-lane bridge. Oh, that one lane for automobile, and then there was a little single lane or single bridge over here for the sidewalk. I remember that real well.
Didn't your dad help pave 31?
My dad helped pike Route 31. It was a mud road. I'll tell you one thing. Of course, this happened when my dad was a kid. But Route 31 carries a lot of traffic. 31 is 31 mile long from Kenton to Marysville. Okay. That's all good. And but when my dad was a kid, and I've got a picture of him when he was about probably 8 years old. Anyway, they lived out here the first or the last county road to the south in Hardin County is County Road 340.
240.
Yeah, we're 230 and that's 240. He lived out there. His dad owned that farm. And there was a one room schoolhouse out there. And my dad went to that school. All right, there was an old man that lived on down towards Byhalia. He'd come into Mount Victory and get drunk, stagger out to his buggy, and untie the horse, get in the buggy and go to sleep. The horse would take him home. So one Halloween, my dad, was with some of the older boys, and they built a rail fence across Route 31. The next morning, they went down there to the rail fence, and there stood that horse. The old man was still asleep in the buggy. That's how much traffic was on Route 31. Now that is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Of course, that wasn't me. That was my dad, you know. Dad, before I was born, had a truck and helped Pike. Now, this was Mud Road. He helped Pike Route 31 into Kenton. And right west of Kenton, there's an old quarry, and it's filled with water, and the town of Kenton owns it now. They keep that as a backlog of water for the city of Kenton. And do you know what that lady mayor name was? What they call that park up there?
Salisbury.
Huh?
Salisbury
Park. The people that owned that were people by the name of France. They called that France Quarry. It was still in operation. And my dad hauled stones out of that quarry to help build a lot of these roads around here. And I remember that I sat in the seat of his truck when he was loading stone there. I don't suppose I was over towards you, but I do remember that. Now, you wouldn't know it, you know, that you could get stone there because it's all has vegetation all over there and water in the quarry holes.
Do you remember anything about the school gymnasium?
About what?
The school gymnasium. Didn't they build a gymnasium?
I was going to school up here when they built the gymnasium and industrial arts.
Workshop.
Huh?
Called it the workshop.
Well, no, the industrial arts room and the gymnasium and the cafeteria. I remember when they built that home. Our school was just so big. And when they was building on, they had a canvas roped up there so that us kids couldn't fall out. And they were building on, you know. It was a small school, but it was a Mount Victory Dudley High School. And after they built on, we thought we'd never need a bigger schoolhouse. Now,
I wanted to ask you talked about McGuffey, Ohio, and there was an onion strike there with the onion workers. Do you remember hearing about
that?
They
raised onions, and they raised that was a marsh. And of course, the way most people farm, they tried to ditch that all out, and they've been successful of ditching it practically all out. But back then, the marsh was, well, it takes a lot of water to raise celery, and it takes real rich dirt to raise good big onions all the time. And they still raise a lot of carrots and stuff like that over there now. But years ago, when they finally did kind of dry up the marsh, the soil was so loose and loamy that the wind would blow it away. And they planted a lot of these hedge trees, hedge apple trees. They'd plant a row here and have a 20-acre field, plant a row there to cut down the wind and keep it from blowing that light soil away. I've seen out in Illinois, I've seen drifts of black soil, just like you see snow drifts in the wintertime. I've seen that myself. And that's the way the marsh was years ago. I do know that John L. Lewis was the head of the coal miners. What is it they call it? Union. Coal Miners Union. And John L. Lewis done more harm by calling those strikes than he done good for the... Because I had an old truck, later model than these, and I'd go down there and get coal and bring it up here and sell it. And when you couldn't get coal, when the miners were on strike, if you did get a load of coal, you wanted to watch or somebody lost, take their equipment and upset your truck or shoot at you. But those days are gone now. The individual trying to make a living and be his own boss, he got a rough way to go. At one time, I had several trucks, and I hired guys to work. At one time, you could hire 5 or 6 guys. You didn't pay any workman's comp or anything. Got down to where you could hire one guy. If you just had one guy, you could avoid paying all those taxes and all that bookwork and everything. I never liked bookwork. She done most of my bookwork. But it got so, it was awful hard. Well, just like the mom and pop grocery stores. The big stores come in and pushed them out, you know. They call that progress, but sometimes I wonder if it's progress.
Just like Jumbo and Grant.
Yeah. All those little places, used to have a general store. You can go in there and buy most anything if you need some nails to fix up the place. But now those little places can't make it.
Do you remember how during this, a lot of people have talked about during the Depression years, I guess they would call them tramps or hobos?
There used to be, and there, well, there probably isn't any of them left. But I knew of several fellows that used to ride the rods. Joe Womack rode the rods. He got out in Kansas or someplace, I believe it was Kansas or Oklahoma, and he said, he went in this one farmer's place, and they had a pretty decent house, just an ordinary little old house like we live in, probably. And they had a basement with a trap door. He said they had to go down the basement and come up this big wind. They went down the basement. He said, they went to sleep down there. Said the next morning, opened that trap door and the house was gone. Couldn't see the house, it was left.
Really?
Yeah. That was true. Old Joe was their family was a good, friendly with our family.
Even when I was 6 or 7 years old, they had tramps.
Yeah.
We call them tramps, you know, come around and bum a meal off of you. And there was one at home, he came around every year. I wasn't very old because we moved from there when I was just little. And Mom invited him in, he'd set the table and eat. And we asked if he had any chores he could do for us. And Mom would say, well, you can sleep the walk off to the corner or something, you know, a little thing, for his meal. And he'd go on. About the same time, 6 or 7 months later, he'd come back.